am. Revelation 3, and the words of the verse 20. It's a verse that we teach the little ones. It's one of those verses that is first taught to children at children's meeting in Sunday school. Let me just read it to you. Behold, I stand. The Saviour speaking, remember. Behold, I stand at the door. Think of his nearness. And knock, he says. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. There is a very famous painting that is entitled The Light of the World. It was painted by a 19th century artist by the name of Holman Hunt. He had an interest in the things of God. He was one of the founders of an art movement known as the Pre-Raphaelite Brethren. But the picture, The Light of the World, is unique. And it's unique for this reason. It is the only English painting to have two originals. The first was painted by Holman Hunt way back in 1853. It's the smaller of the two. And it now hangs in Keble College in Oxford University. The second original of exactly the same painting that Holman Hunt painted was 25 years later, in 1878. The second original was four times larger than the first. One of the reasons why he painted it much bigger was because by that stage his eyesight was not as good as it previously had been. And he had to paint the second one with the assistant of an apprentice artist, an apprentice that was working under his care. But he wanted the second one of those originals, the bigger one, he wanted it to be used for the spread of the gospel. It was a message or a painting that had a message. And he wanted it to go forth in that way. He wanted it to go forth to be used in that way so that the message of the gospel might be seen and heard through it. And that painting was sent on a world tour. It got as far as Australia and New Zealand. When it visited the southern hemisphere, especially Australia and New Zealand, something like 80% of the population actually came to see it. And at the end of the world tour, that second original of Holman Hunt's, it ended up in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. If you're ever in London and in St. Paul's, look out for that painting. There were many little prints that have been made of The Light of the World. Sometimes if you're in a Christian bookshop, you can see them. You can buy one for yourself. And the whole story and the meaning and the message of the painting is printed on the back. That painting of Holman Hunt's, The Light of the World, it's based on this text of Scripture, Revelation 3 and 20. It depicts the Lord Jesus standing at the door, standing at the door of your heart, standing at the door of your life. And he's seeking to be admitted. You think of a standing at the door, how near the Saviour is. And remember, men and women, if the Saviour is near to you tonight, if you can feel his presence, if you can sense his nearness, if you're conscious of his speaking voice, the striving of his spirit, remember how great a mercy, how great a blessing that is. He's standing at the door and he wants to be let in. He's seeking admittance. And that's the title tonight, men and women. I urge upon your hearts to let the Saviour in. And I want us to think of this text, and I want to try to describe for you the sad picture, and it's a very sad picture, I want to try to describe for you the very sad picture that these words set forth to us. As I pointed out to you in the reading, always keep in mind that these verses are directed to the church at Laodicea. Their first application is to the child of God. That their first meaning, men and women, is directed to the church of Jesus Christ. You think of how sad that is. The Saviour outside the church. And yet if we ponder it, if we're honest tonight, is that not so true, so fresh, so up to date? Is that not the condition of many churches in our land and across the world? The Saviour's outside. They've pushed him out. And even more than that, they've shut him out. They've shut the door in his face. How sad, men and women, if that were to be true of this church. That is the first interpretation and application of these words. But we can take them, rightly so, and we want to do that tonight, and direct them especially to the unconverted, to those in the meeting who are still without the Saviour. I want you to notice in the first place the position of Christ. The text says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." What is the position of the Saviour? He's outside your heart and he's outside your life. I wonder, is that true of you? Is that true of someone sitting in the meeting this evening? Christ is shut outside of your life and all that you would do day by day. There's no room. No room for the Lord Jesus in your life. We're in harvest time. We're approaching that season. Do you remember the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12? He said he had no room where to bestow his fruits and his goods. And you know the reality, men and women, those two words, no room, they sum up the life of that rich farmer. Because especially, he had no room for the things of God. He had no room for the Lord himself. He had no room for the Saviour. And maybe that's true of you as well. You have no room for the Lord Jesus in your life tonight. We sang the words of the hymn, "Room for Business." Is this true of you? You have room for business. You have room for pleasure. Room for all the worldly things. But for Christ the crucified, there's not a place that he could enter in your heart for which he died. There's a lovely story about King George V and his wife Queen Mary. They would often, in the summer times when they're down to the seashore, go on some walks together. One night when they were out walking, Queen Mary fell over and sprained her ankle. And they looked for somewhere that they could take her in for a little while just to rest and put her feet up. The king spied a little cottage, labourer's cottage, and assisting his wife, giving her some support, he took her over to the door, and they knocked the door of the cottage, and the voice came from within, "Who's there? Who's at the door?" And he said, "King George and Queen Mary." You can imagine, if you were in this position, that the man didn't believe it for a minute. And he responded, "You don't expect me to believe that the king and queen of the realm is at my humble door." Well, the king said, "Open the door and see for yourself." And the man did open the door. And there stood the king and the queen. They often told that story in later years. And they always ended it by saying, "We almost didn't let them in." Imagine men and women shutting the king. In our case, it would be the queen. But imagine shutting the monarch out of your home. Imagine leaving them standing outside your door. But you know, there's some in the meeting tonight, and you're guilty of something that's far worse. For you have shut the Lord Jesus out. The one that is the King of Glory. The one who is the King of Kings. You notice that the verse begins with the word "behold." Remember, that's like a stop sign. Here's something the Lord wants you to stop. and think about. Here's something the Lord wants you to stop and take notice of. The word behold, it indicates something that's shocking, something that's startling. And here's a shocking thing, men and women, that people actually shut the Savior out. It's an awful sin to refuse him entry into your life. And yet many do. And perhaps you're one of them. You're one of those people that has closed the Lord Jesus out of your life. Can I ask you tonight, men and women, how long have you shut him out? How long has it been? How long has it been for? Been all of your life? Maybe 60, 70, 80 years and more. Your life is almost over, and still you haven't let the Savior in. Notice that the text says it's supper time. It's not breakfast time. It's supper. He says, I will come in to him and sup with him. That day is, the day is far spent. It's not the beginning of the day. It's the end of the day. Night is at hand. Night is near. Death is approaching. And still, men and women, you've shut the Savior out. Can I remind you this evening, the Lord Jesus will not stand there forever. The Lord Jesus can, and he does, withdraw his Spirit. Think of the words of Genesis 6 and 3, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. So many have been spoken to. So many have been brought to Christ through those words. Maybe it'll be true of you tonight. My Spirit shall not always strive. He may be striving tonight, may be speaking, may be troubling you. Remember, that may not always be the case. Think of the Song of Solomon. It said that she opened to my beloved and he was gone. He was gone. And if you wait too long, if you put it off too much, men and women, whenever you open the door, the Savior may be gone. And the result of that would be your hope of salvation, your hope of heaven, it would be gone as well, and gone forever. Doesn't the Scripture warn us, seek ye the Lord while he may be found? Call ye upon him while he is near? Think of those words. Think of the clear message, inference of them. Seek the Lord while he may be found. That means he may not always be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I told you he's near. He's at the door. You see how close he is? Call upon him while he is near. But you need to understand and realize he may not always be as near to your heart and to your life. And what I want to implore you to do is seek the Lord tonight. Seek him in this meeting. And seek him for salvation. That's the position of Christ. Notice the text also talks about the posture of Christ. I stand at the door and knock. The Lord Jesus is not just standing. The Scriptures tell us that he's also knocking. Knocking at the door. And what he's doing in the meeting tonight, men and women, is he's knocking at your heart's door. And the idea, the tense in which the words is written, is the continuous tense. In other words, he's continually, repeatedly, he's persistently knocking at your heart's door. It's not just once in a while. It's not just now and again. The Savior is continually speaking to you of your need of salvation. Did you know, men and women, that knocking doors, that sums up the entire Christian life. When you're unconverted, the Savior knocks at your heart's door because he wants you to let him in. But when you get saved, then you knock on heaven's door. Isn't that a major part of the Christian life? We're to seek and we're to knock. And it says the door will be opened unto us. So knocking really sums up the entire message of the Bible in some regards and the Christian life. The Savior is continually knocking on your heart's door. What mercy, men and women. What patience. What love the Savior displays. Here is the seeking Savior. Remember that the one who came to seek and to save that which is lost is actually seeking for sinners in this meeting tonight. And he's seeking for you. Oh, that that might speak to you. Oh, that that might touch your heart. Tell me, men and women, has the Savior been knocking? Has the Savior been knocking on your heart's door? Maybe you've been spoken to by a friend. That's the way the Lord has been knocking. Someone witnessed to you, maybe a colleague at work. They warned you of your danger. Maybe the Lord knocked on your heart's door through some gospel literature, a gospel tract, a gospel booklet you were given, or through a text of scripture that you read. The Savior has been gently, persistently speaking and knocking on the door of your heart. Can I ask you, men and women, why is it that you haven't let him in? Why is it that you're not saved? Why is it that you haven't asked the Lord Jesus to come in to be Lord and the King of your heart and of your life? Isn't it true there's times when you're at somebody's door and you know that there's somebody there. You knock on the door. You know that somebody's in the house. You know that they're at home. But they don't answer. They don't open the door. Maybe they can't hear whenever you knock at the door. What do you do in those circumstances? Well, you knock again. And you knock louder. You knock a wee bit harder. A wee bit harder and louder than you did before. And remember, the Savior does the same. Sometimes he has to knock louder in our lives. Has to use other events and circumstances. Isn't it true that a knock, it's a hard blow? When you knock the door, you're giving it a hard blow. Well, can I ask you tonight to think of the hard blows that you have experienced in life? Think of those hard blows. They're knocks. They're knocks of the hands of the Lord upon your life. You think of the hard blows that have been applied in tender, loving mercy by the hand of the Savior. Perhaps there's been a problem in your business, problem with unemployment. Maybe sickness has crossed your path. Maybe the Lord has laid you low. A very serious illness has befallen you. Maybe through death, the Lord has spoken. Think of the hard blow that death can bring. The death of a loved one, someone dear and near, the death of a friend. Men and women, there's been loud knocks, there's been hard blows that have been applied to your heart's door. And still the Savior stands outside. You think of the book of Amos. You think of the list of solemn events that the prophet spoke of. He mentioned famine. He mentioned disease. He mentioned the attack of the enemy and so on. And he always ended up in the list of things that he gave with the words, "Still you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord." And isn't it the same with you tonight, men and women? The Lord's been knocking. The Lord's been speaking very loudly. He has brought solemn events into your life. He's applied the strong blows to your heart and to the door of your heart. And still you're not saved. Still you haven't returned to the Lord for mercy and for salvation. How solemn that is. Oh, that the Lord would speak in grace and mercy to you once more tonight. The position of Christ and the posture. One other thing I'll emphasize. Think of the plea of Christ. The verse says, "If any man hear my voice and open the door." Can I point out to you, men and women, that hearing is all important to salvation. Especially hearing the gospel. Hearing the word of God. Those that work the sound system, those that do the recordings and send them forth. Remember, that's a vital work. When people come to the meeting, there's one thing that's essential, and that is they hear. They hear the things that are said. They hear especially the word of God. That's why meetings, gospel missions are so vital, men and women. People need to hear the gospel.
The Bible's very clear on that. Faith cometh by hearing. If somebody's going to put their faith in Christ, they need to hear the gospel. But that's why we give the primacy to preaching, to the preaching of the Word of God, the centrality of the preaching of the Word. In a day when so many other gimmicks, so many other things are being brought into the church and been tried in certain places, remember, it's through hearing. People need to hear. Faith cometh by hearing. The chapter ends with the words, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Hearing's vital to salvation. And it's vital tonight, men and women, that you hear. And it's vital that you hear the right voice. Remember, there are many voices clamoring for your attention tonight. It's vital that you hear the right voice. You go through the New Testament and read the warnings that are given about hearing. And there's a warning given, take heed what you hear. And how relevant that is in the day in which we live. Men and women, it's not the voice of the world that you need to hear. If you were to listen tonight to the voice of the world, it would call you away from this place. Call you away from this meeting. Call you away from listening to the Word of God. It's not the voice of the preacher that you need to hear tonight. It's good to sit under the sound of the preacher. The preacher's the ambassador to point you to Christ, to bring his word. But ultimately, it's not the voice of the preacher you need to hear. Was not true of young Samuel? Didn't he make that mistake when God called him? God was calling him personally by name to himself and salvation. And he thought it was the old man. He thought it was the high priest. He thought it was old Eli. And maybe you've made that mistake tonight. You know that somebody's speaking to you, and you think it's the voice of man, but in reality, it's the voice of God. What you need tonight, men and women, is to hear the voice of Christ. If any man hear my voice, can I ask you tonight, do you hear him? Do you hear the Saviour? Do you hear his voice? Are you listening? Maybe your mind's a million miles away. Are you listening to what the Saviour says? Are you obeying his word and obeying his command? Or are you refusing, maybe deliberately, stubbornly, refusing to listen to what he has to say to you? You think of the man that came to hear George Whitefield. Well, he didn't really come to hear him, he came to see him. He was like Zacchaeus of old, he climbed up the tree. He'd heard so many things about George Whitefield and the meetings that he conducted and the crowds that came. He thought he'd go and see for himself. And there he sat up the tree watching for George Whitefield coming. But he was so determined that he wouldn't hear what George Whitefield had to say that he put his fingers in his ears and he blocked his ears so as not to hear the message of the gospel. But God overruled in his providence every little creature in this world is in God's control. And a little fly came down and sat on his nose. And it irritated him. And he swiped at the fly. He tried everything without taking the finger out of the ear. Shook his head. The fly wouldn't go away. He swiped at the fly. And as he did it, he heard those words. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It really spoke to him. Came as a blow to his heart. I have ears, I can hear, and there I am sitting, blocking the ears, blocking the hearing. You mightn't have your fingers in your ears tonight, my friend, but maybe you're just refusing to listen to the word of God and the message of the gospel. How sad, how foolish that is. Listen, men and women, can you hear his voice tonight? Can you hear it in the meeting? Because I want to assure you of something. He's calling you. Just as sure as he called Samuel that night. Called him by name, Samuel. Samuel. He's calling you tonight and he's calling you to repentance. To turn from your sin, your wicked ways. Turn to the Lord. He's saying to you tonight, open the door. And let him in. Think of the title of the message. Let him in, men and women. He's pleading with you. In the words of Solomon in the book of Proverbs, give me thine heart. And I want to invite you men and women to do that. To do that this Sabbath evening in the gospel meeting. Can I finish by telling you an interesting story about Holman Hunt's picture? After he painted it the first time, a lot of his artist friends came to view it. And as they looked at it closely, you know how artists examine paintings. Most people, when they enter the gallery, they just walk round quickly. That they don't observe and look at in detail the way other artists would do. But his artist friends, when they looked at the picture, they saw what they thought was a mistake, because there was no handle on the door. And as they thought it, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that Holman Hunt had overlooked something so important, something so vital. And they were very afraid. They were very slow to bring it up, very slow to mention it. But he was keen to know their thoughts and their views on his painting. And with great reluctance, they told them what they had spotted. He pointed out to his friends, it's not a mistake, not by any stretch of the imagination was it a mistake. He said to them, something very important you have to remember. The handle to this door is on the inside. And that's how it is, men and women. Remember, it was a picture with a message. And the message is this tonight. If Christ is to come into your heart, and he's to come into your life, to be your Saviour, and to be your Lord, then you have a responsibility to open the door and to let him in. And I want to urge you to do that. I urge you to do that at the end of this gospel meeting. The handle that opens the door is the handle of prayer, men and women. You need to simply bow the head and pray. Pray that lovely verse, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come in and wash my sins away. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Think of the words of the text. If any man hear my voice and open the door. And I want to say to you tonight, men and women, say to those that are backslidden and cold of heart, the Saviour is shut outside your life and outside your plans. You need to open the door and let the Saviour in again. We heard a little this morning about the will of God for your life. And you certainly can't do, you're certainly not in the will of God if the Saviour is closed out of your life and all your plans and all that you're seeking to do. Let him in, backslider. And if you're unconverted tonight, still no hope for eternity, still on the broad road, then I urge you, open the door. Open the door just now. And let the Lord Jesus come in to be your Saviour. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, see the breadth of it? If any man hear my voice, will you hear him tonight? And open the door and will come in to him. I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. What a glorious end you could have to this day. In so close fellowship and communion with the Saviour. But what you need to do, men and women, right now, is let the Saviour in. May God bless his word to your hearts this night for Jesus' sake.